الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على حبيبنا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز كل نفس زائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر من كان يريد الحياة الدنيا وزينتها نوفي إليهم أعمالهم فيها وهم فيها لا يبخسون وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله Infinite and complete praise, all glory and perfection and submission is to our Lord, Allah Almighty, the most merciful, the most kind, the one who gave us life and the one who causes death, the one to whom we all return. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble, beloved, most beautiful messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallama, the one sent as a guide, the one sent to illuminate our hearts and our minds, the one sent as rahmatan lil alameen, the one who showed us how to live a true and noble life, a life which will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower upon our messenger alayhi salatu wassalam and upon his beautiful and noble family members and upon the illustrious companions and upon all of those who follow in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. My respected elders, dear brothers, sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you all on this noble and sacred day of Jumu'ah. And may our attendance become a means for our unity, for our strength, for our purification, for our success and salvation in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Ameen. Previously on Jumu'ah, we discussed the importance and the classification of success, how the world and how society categorizes and defines success by the accumulation of wealth and power and fame, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam categorizes success in terms of our relationships. And a person can have the most wealth and the most degrees in his life and power and control, but if he is unsuccessful and fails in his relationship with his mother and his father and his siblings, then what is the point of all of that fame and power and wealth and control? And more importantly than that, if you have the dunya with you, but you fail in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord, your Creator, if you fail in your relationship with the deen of Islam, and if you fail in your relationship with the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then truly ask yourselves, how have you succeeded in this world, when you will only be in failure and at loss in your qabr and also in the hereafter? So true success, my dear brothers and sisters, is with our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the deen, with the Qur'an, with the sunnah, and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So now reassess your own life and ask yourself, how successful are you in your recitation of your Qur'an, in your understanding of the Qur'an, in your salah, in your qiyam, in your zakat, in your hajj? How meaningful and how successful is your relationship? But coming on to today's topic of speech, and I'm sure you're all aware, over the last week or so, there has been a huge amount of discussions, discourses, chatter on social media. Whether we were part and parcel of that or not, but it is there, it is all around us in relation to the Queen, in relation to this kingdom, the United Kingdom, and also many other countries throughout the world. And therefore, one of the major objectives of Jumu'ah is not just to talk about the Islamic aspects or the Islamic rules and regulations of the Quran and Sunnah, etc., but also, more importantly, to talk about topical subjects and things that are current at your time, contextualize them and give them clarity from the Islamic perspective on how we should deal with these kind of discussions. And it's also important because many of my students have been saying to me, Ustaji, will we have Monday off? And other situations that have arisen in the media where Muslims, a Yemeni Muslim has gone to Makkatul Mukarramah and is doing Umrah on behalf of the Queen, astaghfirullah. And other situations where mosques are singing various praises and hymns, etc. So there is a lot of confusion, unfortunately. And there is a lot of misunderstanding. On one side, there are people all for it. On the other side, there is a spectrum of people completely and abhorrently against it. So we need to find the clarity in our deen of Islam and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually teaches us and what the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam came with. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost, in the glorious Quran, He gives us a very important reminder. And this is for every single one of us. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. That wherever you may be, death will certainly come to you. It will overtake you, even if you should be within towers of lofty construction. And this is very important for us to reflect upon, because not only did it deal with the people at that time in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it is very applicable to us here today. So death doesn't differentiate. It doesn't matter whether you live in a palace of 1,000 rooms, whether you live in a castle. It doesn't matter if you live in a tent or under the stars. It doesn't matter if you are rich and powerful. It doesn't matter if you are poor and a pauper. It doesn't matter if you are white and a person of so-called distinction. It doesn't matter if you are black. It doesn't matter how successful you are in the world, how clever and intelligent you claim to be. It doesn't matter how foolish you may be. It doesn't matter how powerful you are and the things that you can change and manipulate with just your hand or your tongue. It doesn't matter whether you are weak, and certainly it doesn't matter whether you are a Muslim or whether you are a non-Muslim. Death will assuredly and inevitably come to every single one of us, whether we are in our castles in Balmoral, whether we are in our castles in Buckingham Palace, whether we may be anywhere in the world, in Asia, because we have castles of our own as well. We have our kings of our own and queens of our own. So no matter where you are, and no matter who you are, death will come to you. This is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only one who will continue to live is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Al-Hayyul Qayyum, the everlasting, the eternal, the one who is with complete power and might. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the giver of life. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the cause of death, the causer of death. So wherever you may be, death will overtake you, even if you are within your lofty towers and your construction. And this is an important reminder for us all as we see this now, because the Queen has not taken anything with her. And whether she was in her castle or in her palace or anywhere else, nobody, no being, and even the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, nobody is exempt from death. Everybody will feel that death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, even in relation to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتُونَ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ عِنْدَ رَبِّكُمْ. That you will certainly die, because death will come to you, and so will other people die as well, and death will come to them, and you will all be returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be resurrected to ma'asoon, and you will be shown what type of life you lived. The difference between us and others is that we know that this life is a means for us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to prepare for our return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Al-Hayyul Qayyum. So the privileged life and the privileged actions of the Queen Elizabeth II has come to an end, just like it will come to an end for any king or queen. for any pauper or rich man or influential man, for any black person or white person, it will cease. It will come to an end. And this is a reality that we must learn from this incident that we are surrounded by. And we learn that the prophetic way, the way of the Sunnah, the way of Islam, is not to distinguish our relationships or who we are through our lineage or through aristocracy or through a hierarchy or through a class system or through color and who you are through your blood. This is not how we see each other as Muslims or how we see other people who are non-Muslims. We stand together united. We stand shoulder to shoulder and we stand equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know whether you are Imam, whether you are a Sheikh, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you are a Sheikh, whoever you are, Chaudhary, Raja, any Baradri, any tribal, wherever you hail from, none of these things matter. What matters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how you distinguish yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how you excel is only with your Iman. How strong is your Iman? How sincere is your Iman? And how strong is your taqwa? How God conscientious are you? How acutely aware are you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And with your Iman and with your taqwa, then how do you carry out righteous actions and deeds? Those actions that are commanded to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the actions that we deem to be good or bad, but the actions that are categorized and mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do this and to do this and not to do this. Or those actions that are mentioned by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So this is an important reminder for us all that death will come to every single one of us, whether we are in our pyramids like the Fir'aun, or whether we are in our palaces, whether we live under the stars or in our tents, or those people in Pakistan today who have nothing, wherever you may be when the time has been specified, death will come to you. So the history of the monarch has both light and also has darkness as well. Because there are people who are against the monarch, but there are also people who are for the monarch as well. And we need to see and appreciate both sides. And this is a very important point I make. Why? Because Islam and Muslims, we are not extremes to one side where we are completely pro. Or we're not on the other side of the spectrum where we are completely against. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded us that وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. That I have made you the moderate nation. I have made you the balanced nation. I have made you the nation who lives in the dunya and understands the dunya, but keeps their eye and their heart on the hereafter. For the hereafter. So we are a nation of balance. We don't just live for the dunya, but we rather live in the dunya and we prepare for the hereafter. So the monarchy, whether you like it or oppose it, it has both good and both bad. And this is just like any human being as well. Within us Muslims, you'll have good Muslims and you'll also have very, very bad Muslims as well. So some people will see the colonialism of the time. And there's nobody who hasn't been touched by the era of the Queen Elizabeth. Your grandfather, your father and yourself, you have lived through her era and through her reign. So whether you see it through the eyes of colonialism or imperialism, or whether you see it through the lens of racism or some hierarchy, or you look at the slave trade, or you look at the partition that took place between Pakistan and India and Bangladesh, or various other wars that took place in China, especially in India, and various other scenarios, you can see it from that lens and perspective. But you can also be a balanced individual and Muslim the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and appreciate the goodness within the era of the Queen and the monarch as well. You can see the development that took place as a result of all of these things. You can see that safety that was provided to every single one of us and all of the services that you have, that your parents have, that your children have, all of the options that are there available to them. Whether it is the NHS system or the education or the policing or the equality or the courts and everything else, you can see this and you should appreciate this as well. You should see the freedom that has been afforded to you and to your fathers and your forefathers as well. And you should look at the prestige that it bestows upon you as well. Anybody looks at the green passport, then nobody gives it any due respect. And do they? Take a Pakistani passport and you can trial it out. But show that red passport or that different maroony black passport now and look at what prestige and honor that you receive as well. So as I mentioned at the beginning, we should appreciate those things that we have been given or the country that we live in as well. Even the Prophet ﷺ, he appreciated the non-Muslims of his time. the people in Makkah al-Mukarramah, there were some good human beings who sided with the Prophet ﷺ, even though theologically they were opposed. But on a humanitarian aspect, on working with the Prophet ﷺ, removing various obstacles and difficulties in the way of the Muslims, they were there. And the Prophet ﷺ remembered them, and he would honor them as well. In the Battle of Badr, when there were 70 prisoners in the Battle of Badr, the Prophet ﷺ remembered one particular individual who helped the Muslims immensely, even though he was a mushrik. The Prophet ﷺ, that person had died, it had been over a month. And the Prophet ﷺ said that had this person come to me and just said one word, I would have left these 70 prisoners. I would have freed them just because of that person and what he did for us as humans, what he did for Islam. So we can't just be on the other side of the spectrum and say, oh no, no, everything is bad. Be balanced and appreciate the goodness that you have received and the benefits that you continue to receive because of this. So Muslims are not exempt from this kingship or queenship. Muslims have also had high castles, whether you want to accept that or not. And we know certainly it's not Islamic, because we have Nubuwa and we have the Khilafah. But after that, we know the era of princes and kings and queens as well. You see the Mughals, you see the Nawabs, you see the Safavids, you see the Shahs, you see the Sultans, you see the Ottoman Empire, and it's there. And you see their luxury and you see their lifestyle, and it's completely almost opposed to Islam and its values and tradition. But it's there nevertheless. So although not prophetic, a monarchy can have a positive side, which we must engage and we must utilize correctly. Why? Because if you are opposed to that monarchy, how will you ever engage with them and seek benefit for Muslims, or protection for Muslims, or ease for Muslims, or services for Muslims, if you don't even engage with those people? You have to understand and appreciate who they are. I'll give you a simple example from the life of the Prophet ﷺ. In the fifth year of Hijrah, in the fifth year of Revelation, we see in the seerah of the Messenger ﷺ that the Muslims, they migrated from Makkah al-Mukarramah and they went to Habasha, they went to Abyssinia, they went to Ethiopia. And look at what the Prophet ﷺ said to those Muslims who went. He said, there you will find a king who wrongs nobody. There you will find a land of faithfulness. And we know the instance that took place, how the Muslims went and how the Quraysh went after them. But that king was just and that king was faithful, and he allowed them and he gave them sanctuary and he gave them safety, a place of peace and stability, and he accepted them into the safety of Ethiopia. This is what he did. And this is a similar situation to where we are here today. We have this safety, we have this acceptance, and we have all of these services afforded to us. So we need to engage with the country and the climate and the country that we are in, the culture that we are in, rather than just say, oh, this is un-Islamic. We need to be balanced. So now it is the reign of King Charles III. And he may not necessarily be the same Najashi as we saw in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Nevertheless, he has been extremely supportive of Islam and Muslims in a time of Islamophobia, in a time of many, many things which are opposed to Islam and Muslim and our way of life and our way of thinking. He has been there as a vocal voice, as a person speaking up for Islam, try to bridge that divide between East and West, and appreciate all of the things that Islam has brought to the world and to humanity. So we should, at the very least, pray for him and pray for his guidance, and pray that he enables us to continue to flourish and grow in the correct way. Some very basic, obviously, quotes from Prince Charles, or rather King Charles. He says, we are the people of faith. We are the people of God. We are the people of monotheism, of the book, Ahl Kitab. And therefore we have accountability. So he is bringing all of these things which are comparable from our religion and his. And we believe in the hereafter. We are people of knowledge. We are people of justice, of taking care of the poor, of loving the neighbor, of taking care of the family, of respect and dignity. And he mentioned that Islam is the preservation of the world and the universe. Is that not the case? We have been sent here as khalifas, as khulafa, as people here too, as stewards, as guardians, as custodians of the earth, to protect the earth, preserve humanity as well, not to cause destruction and animosity and hatred and instability within society. We are here to preserve the world and the universe. We have the trusteeship of the world. So time is of reconciliation. This is what he mentions. It is a time of tolerance. It is a time of mercy and hope. And this is a very important message that we need to understand and appreciate. Whilst theologically we may differ, we have so many other things that we can come together on, so many things that we can work and develop on as well. So everyone in the last few weeks or so has had their opinion about every single thing. And you have these keyboard warriors, you have these people on the social media, and you have certain imams going all out and other imams being a bit more reserved and certain being more balanced and being neutral in between. So everybody has a particular opinion and they have the right to express their speech or their opinions. But there is a time and place for everything. You have to understand the circumstances that you are living in and understand that this woman was very dear to the people of this country. She was very dear to the people of the world. And this is not the time for us to be expressing and shouting and screaming kuffar and all of these other things. It's not the time or place. We have to use our wisdom, our hikmah, and be productive in the correct manner. So recently the chatter has been there, especially in our madrasa and various other places and platforms as well, in regards to the queen, in regards to the new king. But the message from Islam, from the Quran and Sunnah, is that we always first and foremost treat others with dignity, with humanity, with respect, with tolerance, with honor, at the same time without compromising our faith. So yes, we respect them for who they are and what they did, and they will be rewarded for what they did. This is a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the glorious Quran. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ. That those people who wanted the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them their reward and their ajr and their sawab in the dunya. But we haven't come for the dunya, we've come for the hereafter. With something we've come for, something far greater. So whatever they achieved, whatever good that they did, we must appreciate that. We must be balanced and moderate and appreciative. Yes, you may not necessarily agree with the monarchy and you may be a republican, but you can still appreciate the humanity and the goodness and the khair that they brought. So the seerah teaches us to be noble. And the nafs, the lower nafs, the ego wants you to see faults in other people. It wants you to pick apart them and their lives and everything that they did. This is the nafs, this is the dark side of who you are. Whereas the ruh, which is the light, which is the nur, that sees beauty and that expresses beauty. So we should see the beauty and the goodness in those people that have come and done some good thing for us or for our forefathers. And we should react in a moderate way, in a balanced way, rather than being aggressive and rather than being vocal in a manner which is not productive or beneficial for Muslims or for Islam. So regardless if you are a monarchist or not, or a republican, whether you're a Muslim or whether you are non-Muslim, the Queen had, without doubt, many admirable qualities. She was poised, she was charismatic, she was loved and connected to the people, and she was always able to bring the opposite sides together. Even though she wasn't able to bring about new law and legislation, nevertheless, within her capacity, she did what she could do. And she was patient and she had a deep sense of duty for 70 years. Whether she wanted this or not, she was there trying to serve. And this is also a message that we can learn as well, that we have been sent here to serve humanity as well within our capacity, within our remit, and to serve and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can see that despite never wanting to be in that particular position, she continued with her duty. She accepted her fate and she served till the very end with dignity, with a smile on her face, with always being patient for 70 years. She was undoubtedly a role model in the humanitarian aspects of her life as well. So which we must appreciate. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam reminds us that the best of your rulers are those whom you love and who you love and who invoke God's blessings upon you and you invoke His blessings upon them. And the worst of rulers are those whom you hate and who hate you and whom you curse and whom curse you. So here we can see, if you look at just an arbitrary look in the UK and throughout the world, undoubtedly majority of the people love the Queen for who she was and what she did. And this is a sign of her acceptance just in the dunya, but doesn't necessarily mean a sign of acceptance in the hereafter. But important for us to remember is we must remain dignified and respectful to those people who pass away. Because if we shout and scream now and say things which are hurtful, then tomorrow these same leaders will not be there for us. And we shout and scream and say, protect the honor of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Don't allow people to vilify him or make cartoon and caricatures and stuff like that. They'll say, where were you when we wanted respect and honor for our mother, for our queen? Do you understand? So the Prophet ﷺ has explicitly mentioned, do not abuse the dead, do not vilify the dead or offend the living. Why? Because when you abuse the dead, you offend those who are alive. And you are only damaging yourself, and especially the deen of Islam. Because they have come to what they have sent before them. So whatever she did, she has already sent that before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not for us to say she was this and this and that. Either say something good. Either say something good or remain silent. This is the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Qul khayr. Say good. Oh, liyasmut. Oh, be quiet and remain silent. This is the wisdom. But for a very important theological aspect, it's important for us to understand this as well. That during our lifetime, any non-Muslim who is there and they do good, or you see goodness within them, or you want khayr for them as well, we are permitted, we are allowed to pray for non-Muslims whilst they are alive. Oh Allah, guide them. This person has good characteristics. They're beautiful, they're good, and they do khayr. Oh Allah, guide them. Oh Allah, give them the beauty of iman, make them steadfast, etc. You can do this dua. It's permissible from the Quran and Sunnah for those people who are alive. However, the Quran is very explicit and very clear that once people pass away, then their deeds are sealed, and that's it. So we are not able to pray for those people once they pass away. That doesn't mean we can't remain dignified and respectful and share our condolences and sympathies. Yes, you can continue to do that. But the purpose of dua is a worship. The dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That dua to Allah whom that individual did not recognize, or the Prophet that they did not recognize. So this is why we are not permitted to do dua for those people who pass away who are non-Muslims. It is there explicitly in the Quran. Nevertheless, as I mentioned, we do still offer our condolences, show our respect, and remain dignified whilst not compromising our faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدٌ وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِ إِنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. And other verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَىٰ. That never offer a prayer on any one of those who disbelieved, who died, and do not stand by their grave because they disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Even the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam is explicitly told by Allah azza wa jalla, it's not permissible for you, Ya Rasulullah, or those who believe, to pray for forgiveness of those who ascribe partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though they may be near of kin. So this is that aspect, the theological aspect of doing dua, but that doesn't mean we do not have a humanitarian aspect or an aspect of dignity and respect and honor, which we see showcased throughout the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which we must maintain in our relationships with one another as well. So the message for today is to remain dignified, remain respectful for all of those people, and remember the good things that people have done. And if you are unable to do that, then remain patient and remain silent. And make sure that you're not doing dua, but you can do all of the other things that are outside of that remit. Keep calm, as they say, and carry on. Carry on towards your ultimate journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on our path of Islam, and towards the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and maintain your ties of kingship, of friendship, of humanity along that journey as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all and protect us all.